And I'm going to mute myself for now. Did you get my joke? I'm a cat.
No. I couldn't hear you very well.
The other window that, or the other Zoom account that I have open is so that I can share the screen.
Since you only have a picture, I still have people who don't have video on. I still have that, so I can't see it for all of the Zoom recordings for the expo. I haven't changed that setting, so I saw you on there, but I didn't see you on there. Morning, Georgiana. You're muted. We missed that.
I said you have a bouncy person behind you.
Yep.
I do, and he's doing a little bit of singing too, so. He's got school in 1 minute.
In 1 minute. Well, he's getting all the kinks out before school.
Yeah, we'll see. If my camera goes off suddenly during the meeting, you know what I'm tending to back there, or there's another one in the living room, so.
There's a cat picture somewhere. Someone's giving us a cat picture.
That's me. And I'm doing that because I thought it might be easier for me to do this during the meeting. Like if we need to look at the board packet, it turns out it's really not easier, but try new things.
Gotta try new things.
You're always gonna try something new.
Yeah.
I put my earbuds in again. I'm just trying to test to see if I have that echo, and I don't seem to notice it. Am I cutting out?
No.
Okay. All right.
Not with me.
Thank you. Good morning, Anne. You're muted, but I heard you met a couple people that I know yesterday.
Yes, I'm unmuted and I met your parents.
Thank you for giving them their second COVID shot.
Yeah, well, it was an honor.
Oh.
It's so funny. You know, I have such a short time to interact with people, and some of my interactions are really quite wonderful.
It's the biggest party in town.
It is the biggest party in town.
Maybe it's the only party.
It's true. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I hope everybody on this call can get their shots soon.
I've had my first and am lined up for my second.
Great. All right.
That's great.
It's amazing how smoothly it is run. It went really nicely, and I've heard that from many people, that it's a very smooth operation.
Now, which place did you go to?
The iHotel.
iHotel, that's where I've been working, yeah. I hear the Dress Barn is going fine too, although I've gotten a couple of complaints from people that Carl has turned them away for one thing or another, and I'm sorry to hear about that, but there's nothing I can do about it.
I wonder why they would be turned away.
Oh, various things that somebody thought made them not eligible.
Oh.
But I don't know the details. I'm just sorry to hear about it. We've had to decline people that did not have appointments because we've been very, very strict about having the appointments. So there have been a couple of times when somebody came accompanying somebody, and I just wished I could have just given it to them right then and there, but I'm not breaking the rules. So
yeah,
they have to make an appointment.
And at the end of any given day, there's not any leftover vaccine that doesn't get
used. Yes, there is some leftover vaccine, and there is a mechanism for dealing with that. And I am not the person that gets to decide who gets those shots, but I have made some suggestions.
It's So it does get used, maybe, hopefully.
So far, it has been used every time that I've been there. And I've heard that they have a very strong dedication at public health not to waste any shots.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. That's good.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to go get one thing and I'll be right back. Chico, are you going to be a booger?
Hi, Chico. So it's almost time. We don't have a quorum yet, but we have a lot of guests. So what would be really great for us, memorialize the meeting completely, is if guests are willing to sign in the chat and indicate agency affiliation, if any. And here now we're gonna have a quorum in a couple seconds.
I know. Okay, great.
One board member texted me this morning that she won't be able to attend. Sue, she's really wanted to come, but she can't. So, but we hopefully we'll have four.
Who was that you said could not?
Sue Suter.
Oh.
She had planned to, but this morning something changed, and so she's not going to be able to join us.
Okay, well, I hope she's okay.
Yeah. Hello? Hello? So she's still there.
Thank you all for signing into the chat. I do have the agenda. I'm so proud of myself for having two computers set up.
Okay, all right.
Agenda, so if you ever want the agenda, I'm ready.
Okay.
So Lynn, do we have a quorum, do you think?
Do. If you're ready, I'm ready.
Let's do a call to order and roll call then.
Gail Kennedy.
Here.
Sue Suter. Georgiana Schuster.
Here.
Deb Roosh. Ann Robin.
Here. Was Deb here?
I'm sorry, I started to take notes and I failed to admit a couple people to the meeting, and she is one of them. Kind of have to watch, really pay attention to that. I'm really sorry. Okay. I think everyone who is waiting is in. So Deb is here.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. You're Hi. Here.
I'm here.
Okay, we were just doing roll call and Lynn was admitting you.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Sorry I'm late. Right. I had a little computer issue.
It happens.
That was my fault. I looked away and a bunch of people came and I missed it. And so I just want to repeat for anyone other than a board member or staff of the DD board, please sign in the chat and indicate your agency affiliation. Anyway, we're going.
Okay. All right. So we have a quorum and we have an agenda, and I will ask for approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we have to do roll call because we're on Zoom.
Georgiana Schuster.
Yes, here.
Deb Roosh.
Here.
Gail Kennedy.
Yes.
Ann Robin.
Yes. Okay, the next item is citizen input and public participation. Who has something that they would like to say? And we'll ask Lynn to moderate who wants to say something.
Okay,
Anybody coming forward? All right. Well, maybe next time somebody will have something to say. I know we will have another opportunity a little bit later in the agenda. As the chairperson, I have no prepared comments today. I will report, however, that we have completed interviews for the associate director position. And my opinion is that the process of reviewing candidates and interviewing is so well organized and has gone so well, and that we have some spectacularly excellent candidates. And so I look forward to the next part of it. And with that, I'll turn it over to Lynn.
Thank you, Anne. So that's really, that has been dominated the last few weeks of our work. We have, well, we've been preparing to review applications too, but the review and interview of candidates has been amazing. We really do have some excellent choices. And so, you know, I've been fighting my nature, which is to do things really fast, you know, and learn from them. So now I worry that I may have overcompensated and that the process is maybe taking longer than some people would have liked. And I'm very sorry about that, but I'm so excited that that has resulted in great choices. And I do have a few more steps to complete before we can hire somebody. And Anne will be talking, because one of those is you and Joe Omosage and I finalizing a decision. So the other big news is that we're at the very beginning of the review of applications for funding to start July 1st. On Friday at 4:30, close of business, all of the applications were due. We have, in a few years ago, the boards asked us to be very strict with the deadline. This is the one thing that we can't make any exceptions for lateness. You know, we have a lot of flexibility based on like circumstances at other times of the year, but not this one. So we gave the agencies a little bit, like we gave them back a week of the time that they have to complete an application, depriving ourselves of a week of review time. So I really wanted to see what we've got. I think Kim did the same thing. We were looking at them Friday as they were coming in. We have 18 straightforwardly DDB applications, two more that are related to DD. So that's 20 applications to consider in the upcoming months. We have a process that we've used for a few years. There's actually an agenda item later in this meeting to discuss whether that process still suits us. We've already kind of started working on it, so it'll be interesting if there are tweaks that we should make to it. The goal really for us is to have contracts all completed and signed and ready to pay out on by July 1st. And that's, June is a little bit wild with contract negotiations and preparations and consideration of any special circumstances which have come up. So the very best situation for us is if the board's able to make decisions about funding in May, or at least by the top of June. So that's our goal. And we'll get back to that later in the agenda. I don't have much else to add because it's really been where our head is at. And there's quite a lot of content today, only a few action items. So thanks for being here.
Okay. Next item is approval of the minutes from the last meeting. And this is one of the two action items.
I have a question about our minutes from the last meeting.
I think I need a motion to approve before we have discussion.
Oh, okay.
So moved.
And seconded.
Okay, discussion.
Well, we discussed last time about safety issues and of being the staff being in the Brookins building. And I wondered if anything had happened with that.
You know what? I also neglected at the top of the meeting to say that I am at Brookins. That is really important for me to state. So this is to comply with the revised rules for open meetings in Illinois, and I'm here so that if someone from the public wanted to participate, I have extra computers and hopefully not hard to find. Apparently Brookings was supposed to be closed today, but all kinds of people are here and customers are coming in and out, so it's normal. Regarding last month, I did feel very supported by other county staff who were coming around to check on me. Sheriff deputy was waiting in the parking lot to make sure everything was okay. So if I just think of this as one meeting at a time, I think it's gonna be okay. You know, just, there were a lot of people around to help me last time. So fingers crossed that it continues to be like that. Thank you for asking, Georgiana.
Okay, that was a follow-up on the meeting minutes, and very appropriate, but can we approve the meeting minutes? Any more discussion, or can we go to a vote? Stephanie, you want to do a roll call?
Deb Roush?
Yes.
Gail Kennedy?
Yes.
Georgiana Schuster?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes. Okay, so I'm going to intersperse something here. Since we started this discussion, Lynn, do you feel satisfied that your safety is okay for this evening?
I do, thank you.
Okay, because during the day, you know, with other people around, daylight hours, yes, things can happen, but it seems that you're less of a sitting duck than you are at night with nobody else around.
Yeah, I felt like I asked for help last time and a whole bunch of people helped. So I just need to remember that. Like if I'm really scared, just ask somebody to help.
There's a good lesson. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. we'll try to remember that. Okay, the next item is the expenditure list, approval of the expenditure list, and this is an action item. So I'll ask for a motion.
I move to approve as presented.
Second.
Okay, discussion. Any discussion of the expenditure list? Okay, hearing none, let's go to a roll call vote, please.
Gail Kennedy?
Approve.
Georgiana Schuster?
Yes.
Deb Roush?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes. All right, those are our two action items for this meeting, unless I missed one. The rest of it is informational. And the handout, in my opinion, was excellent, as usual. So I read it and I asked Lynn a couple of questions about things, so I might bring those up when it comes around to it. First one is the mid-year progress report. And I guess are representatives from CU Autism Network planning to do a presentation this morning?
They are here. And if you, Julie, if you want to, and you can, you should have the ability to share the screen if you want to, but your materials are in the packet too.
Yes, I am. Hold on one second. Are you ready for me or?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay, is everyone seeing the screen now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so to start, just our mission, what our mission is. So first of all, let me thank you for having me today. I'm very honored and that we received the grant from this current cycle, and then also we applied for this next one. So I just want to say thank you to everyone and for all your hard work and dedication. So thank you very much. So to begin, our mission at the CU Autism Network is to support persons with ASD, their families, caregivers, and providing them with those opportunities to network. And we really focused on education and training and advocacy. We started off as just a mom's, and a lot of you were probably on here with us at the time, where it was just a mom support group. And then it evolved from there. We weren't receiving a lot of attendance at our meetings. So we kind of changed avenues and went out to the community. So we were, instead of having the community come to us, we weren't getting the numbers we wanted at our meetings. So we kind of changed direction. So to fulfill our mission here. So the programs that we have developed throughout these past couple years is to provide the individuals and their families with resource information, education, training, and support. One of those programs is our community outreach program. And so this program has different aspects, different facets of the program itself. The first one, it started as with me just going into my son's classroom and giving a lesson on autism to his peers. And then it just snowballed from there. It went grade level, then it went school wide, and then it even went through the district with Urbana. As you can see, we've done different elementary schools through Urbana 116, or Urbana Middle School. We've done Little Hearts and Hands Daycare. And then I've also gone out, we've gone out to different agencies and businesses in the community and gave the same presentation. Just to name a few, Crisis Nursery, St. Patrick's Church through their CCD education, religious education format. Carle Foundation Hospital, which I think it's called Carle Health now, but we will, I'll talk more on that later in the presentation. Kiwanis, different rotaries, DCFS, PTA meetings. So again, we've gone to the community instead of having the community come to us. With that community outreach program, there is a book resource program in there. That we purchase books and that we give to different resource school district libraries plus resource rooms. Here is a picture of Carl's resource room that they just started. And they're just different books that will explain an individual's view or a friend's view or just a resource book. On autism that a teacher can use. There's also a book from an actual author that is on the spectrum. So, and she was our recipient. So one of that we at the walk, Alexandra James. So that just gives you some of the. So the other thing that I want to talk about is our collaboration now through the community outreach program. And this is our big initiative. Our big collaboration. I'm just noticing collaboration spelled wrong, excuse me. So through Carle Foundation Hospital, I Give Initiative. Through that initiative, there was education, sensory, 12 to 15 sensory patient rooms, and then the fidget kits. So we've been collaborating with the philanthropy department at Carle to get this initiative launched, and hopefully it will be launched in April. They are also providing a sensory gym at the therapy, Carle Therapy out on, where is it at? Out on, it's escaping me what street it's located on out there. The therapy building, there's gonna be an actual sensory gym that the OT and speech services can use. So through the community outreach program, we've also provided presentations, and with COVID, everyone knows that we had a change. Pre-COVID, I went into different, like DCFS, we did actual, the presentation of us going in and giving the presentation, but of course we had to do, change it up via Zoom. So we've done perioperative staff, PACU staff, trying to get their staff educated. And let me go back to that education portion of it. So there's 10,000 employees at Carle Foundation Hospital, both medical and non-medical, that are going to be somehow educated on autism and autism spectrum disorder, of what it looks like if you're, you know, non-medical, and then if you are medical, how to deal with it. If there is, you know, just identification, but if there is a meltdown, what to do, things like that. And they've been working really hard. We've had a lot of meetings and a lot of collaboration with them of, you know, of how and what to provide, what kind of information would be the most beneficial. We've also continued with the presentations via Zoom. I gave a presentation to the teaching assistants and staff at the middle school. And what that is so the peer education just gives a presentation with students on what autism is, how to interact with their peers. But for staff and teaching assistants and things like that, that just gives them some education of what autism is, if it, again, if it occurs, what to do, what it looks like, what stimming is. So background, kind of like autism 101 of that background that they would need to work with the students. I was also a spotlight speaker for the UMS with Dr. Wiemel, asked me to do that and give that presentation. Of course, we were honored and we signed up to do the Disability Expo with that mock booth, as well as third Thursday roundup. The other program that we have is the Autism Aware Program. And this is where our fidget kits come into play. So with our grant that was provided, that we had the grant money used to buy materials for these fidget kits. And in the fidget kits, there's now we've graduated into three tiers. So there's a silver, a gold, and a platinum. Yes. So the silver fidget kit would be some more a kit that could be taken and used just once or just for an individual. And then like the platinum one would be things that could be wiped off and reused. So it could be a teacher or a teaching assistant or a professional that works with a therapist, something like that, that could be wiped off and reused, especially with COVID. We were very concerned about that, how that was, so we had to buy items that could be wiped off and reused in the fidget kits. So let me go back to the Autism Aware Program. Again, of us going into the community, this was, and COVID put a stop to this, but of us going into local businesses and organizations and training their staff and management on autism and providing and creating an environment where their families can go and feel supported and go without judgment, and providing the management staff with education, providing them with picture menus if it is a restaurant, and then resource packets. And then that last key, that last thing is the Autism Aware card. And what we wanted to use with this was, we call this the Quan card, that they would just go up to, when you're walking to a restaurant, you can just show them the card and then they would know, you know, that maybe, and they could ask you, do you need to sit away from the bathrooms because maybe smells are concerned or something. So it's not to feel without judgment and know when the families come in. Also they can receive, because of course, families on the spectrum are, you know, they go to the same restaurants all the time. I can tell you, we go to Biagi's and we go to Culver's and get our chicken every fast food Tuesday. So restaurants like that, you know, we're very loyal. So what we wanted to do is start this Quan card, maybe receive like, you know, free ice cream or 10% off your bill, because we are going there so frequently and supporting these businesses that they would, you know, again, support us. The next one is the Quan Cares virtual program. And this started up with COVID. We wanted to still get out there. And so we started with cooking with Quan, safety videos, spirit days, reading books, community experience. I've even gone so far as to, to swab my nose and to show them how it was for COVID testing, wearing a mask. I volunteered, my whole family's been in there. So trying to get this out there to the community and providing the most updated information from the health department, things like that, we put on our social media. This just gives you some pictures of that Quan Cares program. This is my husband. He did videos of washing your hands, mask. This is one of our board members with our social stories that we have. There's Polly, that's my son, cooking with Quan. We provide the picture menus for them to use. Some of the events that we had this year that were provided by the grant was our Blue Pumpkin Initiative for our Halloween, our trunk or treat. Had to be a little bit different again because of COVID. The collaboration, which was awesome, the Santa Stop that we had with the different disability agencies. And I have pictures coming. So the back to school, our backpack program is usually at the end of August. And we had to put that in hold, of course, because of COVID. So hopefully we can do that this year. And that just provides school supplies, backpacks, and then gives us sensory swimming. We usually rent out the indoor aquatic center and just have a family fun sensory event. We usually have pop-up play dates. We've had them at Prairie Farms. Skating, things like that. And yes, it's going to come back. Our Lights Up Sounds Down movies, the movie theater reopened. So we're going to get that back together. With this question mark, the Temple Grantin Conference we had scheduled for this December, again, with COVID, we have to kind of relook at things because, you know, you're not allowed that many people for a conference. So with the new grant, we applied for two different conferences, would be Temple Grandin and Zones of Regulation, to get those different conferences to come to the area. And maybe this summer, the walk, and this is breaking my heart again, with as many people, we are not going to be able to do the walk this year. So we're coming up with different ideas to, in place of that this summer, maybe chalk the walk or get families out, but not in such a way that something we're still brainstorming of how to do that safely. So these are some pictures from our backpack initiative, our sensory family swimming that we rented out, that we had provided for our kiddos and our members. There's our Santa Stop. Some of those pictures are from wrapping and the day of distributing the gifts, which was awesome. This one is our Blue Pumpkin Initiative. So this was, yes. So this was this fall that we did, and we provided Dairy Barn coupons, in the buckets with candy and just some things for the kids to use. So trick or treat, they could use that bucket and their families. We also, one of the things that we did this year is we provided free masks for the community. We had we purchased so many and distributed them throughout the community. And it was awesome to see people sending us pictures with them on throughout the community, just advertising for us as well and just supporting and being together and showing that. So that was, sorry, I talked a little bit too long, but that was, I just want to thank everyone again for giving us the opportunity to add, being part of the, you know, just supporting us and letting us fulfill our mission, you know, of networking and education and providing that for the community and through always showing that awareness and acceptance. So thank you.
Thank you.
I can stop sharing. Stop.
I have a question for
you. Yes.
I just wondered how difficult it was to get into businesses to do your trainings. Were they accepting of you?
That was, well, we started with businesses that we would frequent. Before that, we and that we knew that were, or that approached us. So to get the word out, we did that. But again, COVID, you know, started that, you know, put a hold on that. But so we started with people that we knew that we frequent, and then people that approached us. So that's where we started with that.
Okay.
So we're going to have those fidget kits up. And so if there's any agencies or anybody that knows, just get a hold of us. So we have those. And so when this cycle's done and we've distributed them, then we're going to start another one. So same with the books.
Well, I want to thank you for a really excellent presentation. And it was very inspirational for me to see the outreach work that you've done. And the whole idea of going from having people come to you going to them just seemed like such a game changer. And congratulations on your creativity and your bravery of going out and doing that. And I only have one question. Do you have any of those masks left? Those are pretty awesome.
I think we have about 15 to 20 left. So absolutely. I can let me know where I can drop them off at. I can even bring them just somewhere, wherever.
Well, I would like to have one. I don't know if anybody else would like one.
I would, if possible.
I would also.
Okay.
Hawkins is not exactly central to most of anything, but if you happen to be out here for something else, we usually in the office, or you could bang on the door. I mean, and then we can get them out to everybody.
Perfect. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that was so inspirational. And now we're going to go to something, Lynn would like to say, a little bit more nerdy, which is the CCDDB application review process. Briefing them, which is certainly important, but really oriented toward people that like a lot of details. So Lynn, did you want to make a presentation of this, or Kim, or who would like to do this?
Thank you. You know, Anne, thank you for characterizing it that way, because while Julie was talking, I was thinking about that. Like, what super organized, you know, kind of approach against what, you know, if by all needs assessment and all other indicators is like a tempest, you know, so it's a, I think this is a, I don't want to get too deeply into the unmet needs right now, but we've basically outlined the traditional approach to reviewing these applications. We are prepared to do it that way. Kim, are you in a position to make any comments about this? I don't want to like start talking and never stop, but basically—
No, please go ahead. It's math time. I'm trying to double duty here.
So, you know, this is a process which really does benefit from interaction with you all. So typically we bring you our very detailed program summaries in April, and they are, you know, maybe misnamed summaries because sometimes they're as long as the applications. You can look at the applications on the same site where the agencies have submitted them, and we can help you do that because the website doesn't have very many bells and whistles. It's a little bit bare bones, but we're so used to it that works. So the thing that is sort of important to me is the timeline, and I have to I have to acknowledge that, you know, if circumstances caused us to delay some of this, we can do it. It's just that when we end up like shortening the amount of time for the contracts, you know, we could make more mistakes. And then those are mistakes that we have to live with for the whole contract year. So that's kind of what's at stake. And then the other thing is there are other processes that we need to start engaging in over the summer. So we don't want to push those too far into the future either. So me being really preoccupied with the timeline is kind of, that's just sort of the way I've developed over this work. It doesn't mean this is the way we have to do it. It's just the way we've organized it. We did develop this checklist. This is a one-page checklist. It's really intended for board members to use, but it's something that we could also do. It's just one page compared to our program summaries, and it might be helpful to have these completed at some point just for that very quick overview. So, you know, Kim and I could talk about that. These are all things that we will be looking for in the applications when we're reviewing them. I think last year Kim did all of the application review, maybe like a little bit of help from me in the beginning. And then there's a lady who reads them with us and gives, you know, she gives seasoned funder type reactions, but she doesn't help us get the paperwork done. So this is, this might be a nice option at some point, because it does collect the most basic information. Doesn't say anything about what the program costs. And notice I haven't really talked very much about affordability, because we do not know. It takes us a while to get good information about what our revenue will look like next year. And in fact, we don't even always know what our revenue looks like right now. So for example, in 2020, we had a number of adjustments to what the anticipated property tax revenue. There were a number of adjustments during the year. You know about all of them. One was the repayment of a tax liability. Another was, that was this year. Anyway, the big surprise came at the end of the year, because as it turns out, a lot of people chose not to pay their taxes. So we have a lower collection rate than we've ever had. So our 2020 revenue is down, and we're waiting for the auditor's office to complete their work on 2020. Chris completed all of his work on fiscal year 2020. The auditor's office will give us back final results, and then we can talk about what actually happened in 2020, how it affected the amount of money we have right now for agency contracts, what we can expect for this year, and then what we can expect for next year. So in the meantime, while we don't know what is affordable for funding programs starting July 1st, we can read them and just evaluate their quality and how well they match up with the priorities that you've set out and with the needs assessment, which we actually are lucky in Champaign County to be able to provide a fairly small annual needs assessment. And even every month, Kim gives a little piece of that, which is coming from the data collected by the Regional Planning Commission. So anyway, that's really, I think I've said too much already, but that's basically what the purpose of this memo and attachment was.
Okay, any comments? I have a couple questions if nobody else does.
I do too.
Okay, go ahead, Georgiana.
Mine is just simply, can we at right now today go to that website, that CCMHDDBRD website, and see these applications?
Yes.
I've tried and I couldn't find them. What are they called? What is it called?
This is, I think it would be easier to do this offline. Does anybody else want help with how to navigate the system? Because we could even have the developer come and do a presentation. Or it's easy to do through a go-to meeting or a Zoom meeting, but did you get the navigation manual? Was that helpful at all?
Yes and no. The navigation manual started me out at a different place, but ended me up at the same CCMHB. And so Not completely.
This would be a lot easier for us to do together or with the developer whose email address I sent you. And I can also give you his phone number if you want to. Because once you do it, it'll become more intuitive, but it is a few steps to get to the agency applications, and then going through each form takes a little while. Anne, am I right? Like, you've done this
for Yes. Yeah, and I haven't done it for a couple of years, so I'd have to get re-educated about that.
It is something we could do. We could ask him to do a presentation for us. We could all do it together, or we could just, you know, I could talk with each of you, or Kim could, and we could do a Zoom or a GoToMeeting to just show you. Because it really is a little bit of a bare bones website. It does a lot of work, but it's not extremely easy to use. So,
okay.
Like every other website, I don't know what it is.
Yeah. And the other thing is, Georgiana, you can look at stuff any time of the year. You can even watch while the agencies are creating the application. And you can read the reports that have been submitted each quarter. There's a lot of stuff there once you get used to the environment.
Okay.
Cool. Okay, I'm going to ask my question and then make my comment. The question, Lynn, is my understanding is in the last couple of years, DD board members were not intimately involved in reviewing the applications until the very end. Are we going to take more of the model of the mental health board this year? I don't think I've heard a discussion about that.
So the DD board has never done the kind of deep dive that the mental health board does. I think some DD board members read every word of every application, and there are considerably fewer of them. There's like half. Actually, this year there's 20 versus 30, so that's no longer true. But board members have tended to read them on their own and then react to the staff summaries or contact us with concerns before we write the summaries, so that we make sure to get the concerns in there. They haven't done the kind of public discussion of their reviews. So that's a discussion item you could.
Well, I don't know if we want to do that as a discussion item today, or we want to put it out there for people to think about and have it as a discussion item at our next meeting. But I think it would be a good discussion item. Do people know what we're talking about?
Yes.
So the
yes. About reading the applications themselves.
Yeah.
Right.
So that was the reason that I wanted to put this overview into this board packet was to give you the opportunity. Like it's very appropriate if you wanted to talk about that now. If you have time.
Okay. Well, my comment is that if we are going to do that, this checklist I think is going to be very valuable. And having used checklists to evaluate and respond to strengths of the various candidates for the associate director position, I think a checklist like this helps me to focus my thinking and gives me a kind of a numerical value that corresponds with what my global assessment is. So I think that's very valuable, and I thank you for creating this. And I would suggest that we adopt something like this when we're reviewing the applications. And I think I'm not sure how much more we have to do in this meeting. Maybe we should table this discussion and go with the rest of the meeting and then see if we have time at the end to have more discussion, or we could have email back and forth or private discussions about what the process for the board to review the applications is. Agreement?
I agree with that approach. And I think this is this checklist, if we were to participate as you know, members of the board in reviewing some or all of the proposals in more detail, a checklist like this would really be very helpful. Sorry for being redundant, but I appreciate it.
Okay. Okay, well, we will table that discussion and proceed with the agenda. And then if we have time at the end, we might have some discussion, or we might figure out how to have discussion of that elsewhere. Local impacts of COVID-19, pages 29 to 41. Is someone doing a presentation on that, or is that just a memo for us to look at?
That is just a memo for you to look at. That literally comes out of the agency's quarterly reports, which are also in the board packet. So you can see their total comments, because they're also making observations about things that aren't directly related to COVID. But I appreciate, I think for us as staff and you as board members, which, you know, the next thing we're going to do is start planning for next year. I really appreciate understanding what's happening and how agencies are pivoting. CU Autism and CU ABLE and CU and the Champaign County Down Syndrome Network worked together prior to the holidays on sort of a major shift in what they do. And I think for us to know about this is very valuable. Maybe the memo itself is too much information, but I'm just trying to document it so that we can go back through it later.
It's not too much information, it's very much appreciated. Okay, the next item is the CCDDB eligibility requirements, and this is an information only briefing memorandum. Any comments about that?
I would just like to say that I very much appreciate all the work that went into exploring this dilemma. It's a big problem. It's a very, very complicated problem, especially as we look at less revenue rather than more. So it was really helpful to me to get all of the, kind of a global picture of the problem. And it is a problem.
I have yet another question. if I'm understanding this right, we're considering expanding the definition and eligibility of a person for DD services. But the reason we're considering this is because of an email that talked about people who have mental health conditions and autism, but do not qualify for a state DD for state DD waiver services. Am I right so far? So I guess what I'm wondering is, why is this board, the DD board, looking at this and not the mental health board?
Lynn, do you want to answer that?
Yeah, the answer is,
you and I had some discussions about this.
And that should serve as practice for me to keep it brief. I'm going to try. The question was posed of the DD board, not the mental health board. I actually agree with you, Georgiana, having worked in this field for a couple of decades and feeling like if these are mental health related needs and a person has a mental health condition, why isn't the mental health system providing those kind of supports and services? So I also think this would be a better question for them, but this is a long-standing service gap, and the co-occurrence of autism and especially anxiety or, you know, related disorders is very high. So this is a known unmet need, and not just in Champaign County. And I think it has a lot to do with the two systems, DD and mental health, existing separately and having very very careful rules that, you know, can't be bent to meet the unmet need. So if the DD board were to consider changing its eligibility requirements, what I wanted to really come through in this memo is we learned no one else has done it yet. So there's no path to follow.
Right.
Because of that, I would want to bring our lawyers into it just to make sure that we don't go too fast and do it wrong and learn from our mistakes, right? So that would be first. Second, and maybe that's too much money. Maybe we don't want to bring lawyers in at this stage. Maybe we just want to start with a public hearing, because I think the other thing to consider is, are there other large unmet needs related to developmental disabilities that aren't this one, that aren't like that we don't hear from because maybe no one's thought to bring it to our attention. I feel like that kind of broad question should also be part of our process if we were going to go down this road. But Georgiana, I feel that you have like really hit the heart of the question, is are there other ways that the system can serve these people?
You know, I just want to say, I was really surprised that the outcomes of your investigation related to other states that have an autism waiver. And the fact that there are so few really surprised me. And the fact that the few that do have them haven't had much success in maintaining them also surprised me. So that was a little bit disconcerting to me in just that piece of it. And then as that relates to potentially expanding eligibility for us. So altogether, reading the whole document at the end, I just kind of went, ugh, such a challenge. And the fact that other states have quit, the few states that have them, some of them have stopped the autism. I wonder why that is, why that autism waiver went bye-bye in a couple of those states.
Yeah, it was a surprise, Deb. It just doesn't seem like this should be that hard.
It's correct. Right. Right. What a huge unmet need.
Yeah.
And there's no, you know, there's no consensus. There's no, there's very, very little going on at the national level even to address this. So.
Well, we certainly can push the advocacy at the state level. Kim and I happen to have a meeting with our state group, like maybe the next day, or maybe the day after Kim had gotten lots of good local information. And they were, the other DD boards and mental health boards who do DD funding in the state of Illinois are also concerned with this. So there was a strong interest in making this a state issue, but that doesn't mean anything, you know, for people who need services right now.
Right.
We can, right. But we have to exist in both spheres.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Anyway.
Okay, any other comments at this time about this deep topic? Well, then we're going to move on to another deep topic, the unmet residential support needs. And this is again a briefing memorandum, which was also depressing and shocking to read.
Yes, it was.
And I want to draw your attention to page 49, that there are 74 or so people who are on the PUNS list not yet having funding for placement and have indicated SILA as their preference. So there's a huge unmet need, and that's just in our community. So Lynn, do you want to talk a little bit more about the residential support? As it relates to our own SILAs?
So on the positive side, I just wanted to say that we have Kim and I were very happy with the input that we got from Katie Harmon at the Independent Service Coordination Unit and her team. They really came through for us with a lot of information very quickly for the other memo too. So they probably should be listed as co-authors here. They, you know, it was really nice to be able to put this information together for you by this meeting. I think you brought it up last meeting and I said, oh, we can't do that. And then there it was. So that's the happy, at the risk of, I'm really on the verge of getting very dark, right? Because of like the history of institutionalization and the promise of community-based care in Illinois. So if Kim wants to speak to it, I might do well to stop talking. And because Kim is still working on an action plan here too. Can you do it, Kim?
Probably about to get really loud in here. So I will just try to be brief on this. So the problem with the, or I guess the problem that we are facing is that the group home service provider is ready to pick up shop and leave, and we are struggling to find another agency to come in and take over these homes. As Lynn pointed out, we worked with the local ISC and they cover 13 counties now, so they were able to reach out and ask, is this a problem elsewhere? Finding staff, finding, you know, direct support and QIDPs, and it is a problem elsewhere. So we're not alone. And I think this is a riddle on how do we solve this problem? And again, I don't know that we know. You know, the goal with these houses is to provide small settings, so they are four or fewer people in the homes, and that's something that continues to be very important. We know the rates are not adequate. So, you know, what can we do? How do we get somebody in here to provide appropriate person-centered services for these homes? We just talked about an unmet need, and then, you know, here's another memo about another unmet need.
Right. So Kim, you know, is there a plan to a date to close the one remaining operable home?
Well, that's what kind of is going backwards. Like we can't find another provider unless we do the whole RFP. And by the time we do the whole RFP, 6 months will have passed. So mm-hmm. that's a lot of time for either empty houses or people being stressed out about the services. So,
but do we know yet when that Englewood home is closing?
No, they haven't said they're leaving.
Okay.
So what happened last week that was really hopeful is Kim and I reached out to the agency, and we have a meeting with them and with the ISC to talk about, you know, what they could maybe do with the home that's empty right now.
Okay, that's positive, right?
I'm hoping we can entice them to stay because they've done a great job. It's just mm-hmm. when they stopped being able to maintain staffing last year, it really looked bad. So
it is such a terrible problem across the board. It's just, it's at the root of everything. And I say that every meeting or every chance I get, the lack of appropriate pay and benefits and support for DSPs is at the center of everything. It's at the center
Amen.
Of everything.
Amen. Amen.
So when you talk about a DSP curriculum, I mean, it would be great if we could do something at the county level to support DSPs and to encourage them and to provide them some validation, because they are the people, they are frontline people who know more about and do more for the individuals in across settings, and they get the least recognition and the least pay for it. And why do the job when you can make more money at Target? You know, it's, so if we could do something at the county level, that's great, but it really has to be addressed statewide and nationally. I mean, we are so pitiful in Illinois. What are we 47th again this year? Or have we moved up to 48th or 46th? I don't know, but it's, it's even though we're dismal at providing funding for services and for paying DSCs appropriately and on and on and on, even the best states are lagging, right?
Mm-hmm. So they are. Yeah, and it seems, you know, maybe we'll get lucky and COVID will have been a huge wake-up call and we'll start to really change the way we think about direct support, right? Like, this is very similar to a problem that we have on the mental health side with crisis workers. This is, you know, kind of an entry-level job. And mm-hmm. as long as it's like that, there is going to be high turnover. And
right. And it shouldn't be an entry-level job. It just shouldn't be.
But that is the condition across the country. So
right.
Maybe we're going to learn something from 2020 and 2021.
So what would be the usual steps in trying to increase human resources in any occupation? We have to increase the attractiveness of the job, which means, you know, better pay, better benefits, and
better training, continuing education.
Yeah, like professional affiliations mm-hmm. and so forth. How do we as a county mm-hmm. facilitate that in happening? How do we do that? I have no idea what the steps are to promote that kind of professionalism and respect for a job. How advocacy at the state level in this time of cutbacks. I don't know how that can happen. I mean, I want it to happen. Mm-hmm. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes, but I have no clue as to how to make that happen.
Well, I think this is we've been talking about this for 20 years, maybe.
Uh-huh. So I feel like I'm on a loop personally with this issue.
Yeah.
So this is the statewide, this is a really nice document that was created for families and individuals, right? So like, but it's still got a lot of alphabet soup, right? It's not exactly easy to understand, but I guess all of us in the DD world know these acronyms really well. So it's not really a big problem. But right now the state, you know, is looking at the recommendations that it purchased from a consulting firm called Guidehouse, the recommendations for what it should do with its rates. And that would have a cascading effect that would be of huge benefit to our county and the other counties. Like with all the rates, the special adjustment upward belongs just to Cook County and Springfield, not here, in spite of, you know, our comparatively higher cost of living. Maybe that's an opportunity for local advocacy to the state. I'm not sure. It seems like lifting it all up might be good enough, but the state, was this ARC-CHEM or was this DD, Division of DD, who created this, this is the They Deserve More organization, which is a coalition of all kinds of groups. They created this so that we could see what those Guidehouse, that special consultant, is recommending that the state do. So we can each, you know, individually support this. And that's a great thing to do. If you're interested, maybe Kim and I could find some of the materials or an overview of some of the materials that we referenced in the memo, the National Association of DD Providers, or I can't remember what it's in here. They have this curriculum they created with our friends in Polk County, Iowa. So maybe we could get more information about that. You could take a look at what somebody else thinks is a way to professionalize this workforce. And then the Cornell University materials, I'm not sure, they're from 2018. I don't know if they would need to be updated, but we could give you more information about those things. Where do we go from here? Like with the other question, it seems like we gotta operate in all those spheres. I think that's it for that memo.
I guess that, you know, there's, I guess I have one question. Is there an easy way for us to find out countywide how many direct service providers are working with the agencies that we fund or the agencies that exist in our county for DD service? How many direct service providers? Is there kind of an easy way to do that? Just by asking?
We could sure try. I don't know if it's easy.
I mean, I just wonder how many DSPs are currently working in our county to support individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. How many vacancies there are. And really maybe just to find out what are the agencies that see as a path to improving the lot for those workers, you know, that we potentially, that as a board could potentially assist with. What do they think would be helpful, if anything?
Good idea.
At the county level.
We can sure try. I mean, it's not an infinite list of providers.
Right. Right.
Okay. So would the board like to ask staff to do another briefing memorandum for us for our next meeting or whenever they can get that information together? I think this, I'm sensing that for me, this is a huge issue that I think is a big unmet need that we need to continue to address. And there are no easy answers to it, but pay for direct service professionals and calling them professionals is really the most important thing to do.
That's right, Ann.
So we will see this again. This is not going to go away. As a matter of fact, we might have this on our agenda every single meeting just to kind of keep it closer to the front burner.
That's a good idea, I think. I would second that.
Okay, so there's no motion, but there's a direction. Lynn, is that satisfactory to you? And Kim, does that work for you?
It does.
Okay, thank you. Well, I'm going to move the meeting forward then and go to something that hopefully will be a little more uplifting. We had very uplifting from the CU Autism Network, and I would love to hear any other agency information. And you tend to be very uplifting, although if you want to talk about problems, we can't stop you. It's okay. Who wants to talk?
Looks like Annette has her hand
up. Yes. Yes, I was actually just thinking I have some uplifting and good news to share. So I appreciate the segue. Beyond Ability, which is the podcast team that is supported by Community First staff, have started production of their next podcast. And this production, this episode will highlight the Spread the Word campaign. And they have reached out to community leaders from Champaign County, and they're asking them to share their thoughts on what inclusiveness means to them and how they plan to be inclusive in their community. So far, Mayor Finan of Champaign and Mayor Marlin of Urbana have agreed to be part of the podcast. And we still haven't heard back from some of the smaller communities, but I don't have to say there's been a lot going on, especially in the last week or so. Just snow removal in addition to all of our other ongoing stuff. But we hope to get some good responses. They are on Facebook and they also are on Instagram. And again, it's Beyond Ability. And they actually recently selected a logo. So they're really pretty pumped about this. And you know, the team is leading this and the staff person is kind of helping them figure out what the next step is and how they reach out to people. So it's just been really energizing for everybody involved. Thank you.
Thank you. I see a hand raised. Who is it?
I'm sorry, we have two. It's Mel, and then after Mel, Becca.
Okay.
Oh, you're muted.
Hello, everyone. I'm hoping to buy a little bit of uplifting information. So, we have been, Pace have been partnered with Illinois Rexit Coalition and reached out to us last year and stuff about several consumers that are looking for PSWs or Rexit workers that had specific needs or specific preferences. And in one particular, there was one consumer that has a very specific preference that it took me double the effort of reaching out to different communities to be able to find someone that matches with their preferences. And last month, I got an exciting call from Illinois Rexit and said, oh my goodness, now we have found somebody that clicked with that family, and they have, I wanted to let you know that it was a great match and they're working out very well. So all in all, with the double of the effort of the outreach last year and with COVID, we are very happy to partner with IRC and able to provide a successful match with them and stuff. So that was a really good uplifting for me and very good information that they provided. And also another thing that I wanted to share was that our advisory for PACE for consumers and PSWs are coming up on March 5th. And we actually invited Julie Pride from CU. Public health and stuff, because it would give good information for both PSWs and consumers about the vaccine. If they have any questions, they can ask during that time. So if anyone is interested of attending it, and then we open it to the public for doing part, but we will be staying on later for the PSWs and the consumers just in case they have any questions or future possible matches during Zoom.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Becca with Community Choices. I just had two quick things. One was that I just wanted to share, there's a woman that we have worked with for a number of years, and she has a particular just drive to do self-advocacy work and to do leadership work really at a really high level. And we helped her get connected with the University of Illinois LEND program a couple years ago. And she was a LEND fellow as a self-advocate for their sort of year-long interdisciplinary program. And we were excited that in the last couple months, and I think it's starting to get rolling now. One of the professors and organizers of the local LEN chapter was able to actually write her a position into one of their grants. So she is now going to be doing self-advocacy training and sort of consulting on the development of self-advocacy trainings for groups all over the country. And so we are just so excited that she honestly has a platform to be able to share some of her like amazing ideas and amazing work, and it's just absolutely like it's a perfect fit for her. So we're really excited about that. And then also too, I know some of you may know Community Choices has had sort of a shared living house that we've supported for many years. And we recently had somebody move out and kind of move on to his own sort of own apartment, which is great, but we were looking for people to sort of move into that space. And we didn't have anybody sort of that we were directly working with that was going to be the right fit for. So I just wanted to sort of recognize, I reached out to Sarah Perry at DSC and also to Julie from CU Autism Network. And I just wanted to thank them for their just great response and kind of getting the word out about that opportunity and sharing that with some of their participants and families to see if that would be a good fit. I really appreciate that. And I think we have already gotten a few people who are interested. So while the Scylla situation is maybe not ideal, there is still, I think, definitely a lot of collaboration that's going on to support people in having some community living options. So thanks, everybody.
Thank you for that. And I would like to make one comment that I am seeing a theme going on in this meeting that is positive, and that is groups talking to each other, reaching out to each other, working together, and working with the larger community. And so I just want to point that out because it's easy to get depressed about unmet needs, but you know, we talk about people working in silos, and I wonder if maybe one of the silver linings to the COVID is that more people are reaching out to each other and working together, or maybe we're just seeing it right now, but thank you for that. Any other comments? Okay, I'm going to move on to old business. And I think the rest of the agenda is basically information only. So we'll look at it and see if there are any comments. Any comments from the board about the agency quarter program reports? I personally appreciate the service data charts. They're easier for me to look at. Thank you for that. Any comments? Did I see a hand raised? Nope. Okay, and then item C under old business is the 211 quarterly reports. And I did notice something a little unusual on that one that I asked Lynn for information. So I will just point that out. There were some things on page 89 where there was like under housing, 114.688%. I was like, how could that be? Well, that is, there was no heading on that column, and that column was an increase over the previous reporting period. Is that right, Lynn?
You know, I think it's I think it's meant to be an increase over this time last year.
Over this time last year. Okay. Well, we might ask that headings be included next time for those of us that don't know what those things mean. But it does look like there's been an overall increase. So I will take that as probably a good thing that people are reaching out and asking more.
At a meeting that I was with regional partners who do needs assessments for mental health and health planning, this came up, and what they were discovering from 211 was not so much an increase in mental health related calls, but a really profound increase in calls for resources like housing,
yeah,
and rental assistance. So that's, yeah. I think that's, yeah, what you're looking at is, you know, kind of a lot of social support calls.
Yeah. Any comments from the group?
No.
Okay, then we've got the schedules and timeline. Do we need any comments about that? Lynn, it looks like we're going to be doing Zoom meetings at least for another month, if not longer than that. Next meeting will be a Zoom meeting.
We have a study session scheduled for you for March 24th. The reason that I did that was in case we needed extra time to launch an RFP for the SILA, but it seems like we may not be going in that direction. We could keep that tentative in case you want to have,
okay,
a discussion of anything else, and we can cancel it later if it doesn't seem needed.
Okay. Well, let's be in communication about that and see if it's needed. what is the timeline for making a decision on that meeting, turning it from tentative to for real?
Stephanie,
under the Open Meetings Act.
Is it 48 hours? Yes.
48 hours, okay. Well, we've got a little time on that one then. Any CCMHB input?
They have a meeting this evening with roughly the same information and, well, it's similar information. They have several mid-year agency progress reports, like I think four, is it? Or is that next week? No, tonight they have two, and then next week they have the four remaining. So otherwise, okay, they're on the same schedule as you are. They're going to be looking at the list of applications.
Okay. And staff reports. Thank you to staff for your reports and for all of your good work. Any comments? Okay, any board announcements? Okay, I will announce that I've been working on getting the community vaccinated as quickly as possible.
Yay.
And I am very, very happy to be available to talk to anyone individually or in small groups or whatever about vaccine safety and that sort of thing, if people have questions about it.
Thank you, Dr. Robin. Yeah.
All right, I guess we don't need a motion for adjournment if there are no further comments. Any further comments or announcements or? All right, well, I want to thank everybody for your participation. I think my last comment is the unmet residential support needs. I put a star next to that. And I would like to see something about that at every meeting, just to keep it in our consciousness. We'll think of something positive to do.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, everybody, stay safe, stay warm. We can be grateful we have electricity, unlike our friends in Texas. And we'll see you next month.
Okay.
Thank you.